Thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate the introduction. I am Maurice Cerrone from Ahenny Manshaven. We're transmitting on the frequency of AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Our production engineer today is John Couch, and welcome, John. It's nice to have you with us today. And we'll continue the fine performance that he has been establishing here at KVOI, and I'll provide hopefully excellent support and information for each and every one of us. I am with Ahenny Manshaven. We're transmitting in the Ahenny Manshaven radio studio. Our phone number here, if you'd like to enter into the conversation anytime during the next hour, give us a call at 520-790-2040. We'll entertain your information, your projects, or questions, or support for what we're talking about, and we'll have a very excellent discussion concerning each phase of that. A little bit about Ahenny Manshaven. We're situated at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That puts us six blocks south of 22nd Street. I think I have this memorized by now. The big yellow building on the west side of the street, or if you're going southbound, it's on the right side. Our hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Saturday, except for various holidays. The website is ahandymanshaven.com. Don't forget the S between handyman and haven. It really looks like ahandymanshaven.com, but that'll work out fine. The hours of operation, the phone number, that's the next one, 520-624-7200. We have a Green Valley location for the southern part of Arizona here. If that's easier for you to get to, we'd like to have you visit. It's on the north end of Green Valley. It's off the Duval Mine Road. You can take that exit and then weave yourself a little way south to 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103A as in Alpha. The hours of operation at Green Valley are from 8:30 in the morning to 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon. The phone number on location is 520-369-4858. So come down and see us at either location. Give us a phone call. From that standpoint, if people don't answer, sometimes the phones go back and forth, and somebody will answer the phone, hopefully, or you can leave a message on our voicemail system, and we'll get back to you as promptly as we can. Coming up shortly is the Saba Home and Garden Show, Southern Arizona Home Builders Association Home and Garden Show. It will be at the Tucson Convention Center. I almost said community there. I guess that sort of dates myself from that standpoint. But today it's the Tucson Convention Center. That'll be April 12, 13, and 14. That basically on the 12th and 13th, which is Friday and Saturday, it'll be available from 10 a.m. in the morning to 6 p.m. in the evening. And on the 14th, which is Sunday, it'll be open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So come on down to see us. Ahenny Manshaven will be in the Remodelers Row. That's the 700 row, which is a little bit to the eastern portion of the center. You can enter the center from the east or from the west, but you'll have to walk all the way over to the west if you enter on the east side and then descend into the system. There will be coupons available. You can get them online. We'll have some down at Ahenny Manshaven if you stop in from that standpoint. A little bit about the activities of Ahenny Manshaven. We do sell cabinets. We design your cabinet situation for you. So any place within your home or your resident or your guest home or winter home, summer home, commercial, any business application, libraries that you would like to work on, that sort of thing, we can assist you in any of the cabinetry that may be needed. We'll design the system for you. We have four major companies that we can select from with over 1,000 different presentations of styles, and we basically have an unlimited number of colors for the cabinetry that you would so desire, because we do use the Sherwin-Williams color palette. We got three companies that accomplish that, and we'll pick that up accordingly and paint the cabinets to your desire. So laminate countertops is another one of our mainstays, and laminate countertops is obviously considerably less expensive than any natural stone countertop that you may consider, being it marble, travertine, slate, granite, things of that, soapstone, things of that nature. Laminate countertop is basically like quartz in one aspect, quartz being a solid surface countertop, because it is antimicrobial. It requires low maintenance and basically none at all. All you have to do is wipe it clean. No sealing. It's hyperallergenic. It's a non-porous product, and it's relatively inexpensive compared to any other countertop that you may want to consider. That being stainless steel, that being tile, that be the solid countertops that are available today, which I just described to you, or butcher block countertops, etc. All of those have their basic application and work fine if you're willing to expense them out accordingly. So we can provide you our basic colors of countertops and surfaces, a 10-foot piece of countertop with an integrated backsplash for $90. That's $99 a linear foot, and that includes any straight cut that you would like to have established on your countertop. These are all tax, non-tax numbers from that standpoint. It makes it easier to do it that way than to compute all the taxes out. Unfortunately, we have to support the tax environment in any state or governmental entity we have to work with. So for $90, you can get a 10-foot piece of laminate countertop, straight cuts, and you can do all the upgrading that you need to do on that countertop to get it finished for you from that standpoint. If you want to have a more prestigious type countertop, you can obtain some of their finer colors and surfaces that are available from either laminate or from Formica, as an example, or Wilson Art, which two are the major players. There's a couple other players out there called Pionite and Nevermar. But for $135, you can get the same type of countertop with the integrated backsplash, and that would be a 9-foot piece. So considerably less expensive than any of the granites, marbles, travertines, etc. that you may so desire. Again, remember that it's extremely low maintenance. You do have to clean up the messes you create. It's non-stainable as far as the laminate goes. We use the word laminate in describing those countertops because that's sort of a generic name. Today, as an example, if you go to a grocery store and you want to buy Kleenex, you may come home with some facial tissue named ABC, and that's why we use a generic name of laminate. So there's many companies that offer the pristine type of laminates that are available. You can also get Formica, as an example, that is writable. So you can take your children's room as an example, and you can panel your children's room with the laminate sheet goods. They can write on it all they want, and when you get through with that, you could take it down when they get old enough and paint the rooms the color you so desire and not have any marred rooms from that standpoint. You can get magnetic laminate, so they've got it embedded in metal. That's so you can put magnetic strips on the laminate and hang up there all the things that you want. As most of us know, the refrigerator has been a great mainstay of bulletin boards in the homes. And today with the stainless steel, that's sort of anti-magnetic. This way you could put a laminate cover over it if you like, and then you can have the magnetic process back on the front. Or on the stainless steel ones, a lot of times you have to use the side panels in order to accomplish that. Well, Mr. John Couch is over there excitingly waiting for the end of this first segment, and I've been rambling on here to a certain extent about the laminate countertops, which are very, very important. So, John, I'd like to have you take it away, and we'll see you after the break, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show, transmitting on AM 1030, the voice with trusted local news and talk. I am Maurice Cerrone from A Handyman's Haven, and we're here today in the Hammer Time Radio Show talking about various aspects of home improvement and other things that may impinge upon our environment. And one of the advertisers we just had before this was with the BBB and the scams that they were talking about. And one thing that we've been confronted with at A Handyman's Haven, about 2 weeks ago, we end up getting an email from a foreign country, as an example, that said that they had received a request from another company that they was attempting to register our basic website name, which is A Handyman's Haven, but the extensions were like a .com, same as ours, but behind that extension, there was another dot type extension. And it looked as if that the second dot extension was associated with various countries. And so the more that we sort of looked into this, we realized that this whole operation could very well have been a scam, of which we think is about 99.9%. But being that registering extension names along with the original name of the company at about 99 cents, 97 cents is what we found online, that there's probably an infinite number of extensions that you could be extorted with. And even if it's only a dollar a piece, oh, well, I could pick up five of them and provide those. But it appeared that the second extension behind the .com was sort of like a CH for China, TW for Taiwan, a lot of Asian names, a lot of Indian names, and various things like that. So if you ever get an email like that that comes across your website or your email browser, seriously take a look at it, and I think that it may very well be a bogus operation to extract money. And of course, once they start extracting money from you on a credit card, who knows what's going to happen after that. So keep that in mind. The BBB does a great work for all of us concerning that. So another activities at A Handyman's Haven is that we've had a customer come in and they're purchasing about 15 cabinets as an example. Some are drawers and others are just the typical base cabinet, door and drawer, as well as the upper level cabinets. And the customer is requesting keyed locks on every one of the doors and drawer systems. We do have the capability of doing this, and one may say, if you have about 40 keyed locks, do you have 40 keys or do you have one key? Well, we can purchase these type of keys or these type of locking systems with one key for you with on a special order basis. 40 of them is rather a large number. We did not request or pursue the reason why he needed so many of them, other than the cabinetry, but that's his own customer's business from that standpoint. So that is a possibility. So we're resetting all these locks and all these doors and drawers and et cetera. We have another operation that's also another piece of equipment, so to speak, that's also available, and that is that we can use a magnetic system. So one of our providers, vendors, so to speak, provides a matic or a magnetic handle knob, so to speak, of which you know where the receptor is on your door or drawer, and all you have to do is press the magnet upon that area, and the door comes open. So no handles, no knobs, nothing on it from that standpoint, and you, with your secretive magnetic system, can open a door or drawer. Very valuable in homes where you have a lot of children, as an example, and especially having a lot of toxic materials stored underneath your sink with the double door system that may be there or in various drawers, or you want to keep your medicine cabinets locked up, that's so people are not taking the medications unexpectedly, and who knows what happens down the line. Many of, if you've been listening to the radio frequency, there are things occurring in our school systems, such as these vapor smoking systems that are occurring at a rapid pace, and who knows what this is going to do to our children as they grow up, as time proceeds. Could be very damaging to the human body from that standpoint. Let's see. If you have any questions, folks, please give us a call at 520-790-2040 here at the radio studio, and we'll entertain your conversations as best as we can. In our laminates, again, I'll get a little bit back about that. We do carry 7 colors in stock of various categories. We have the basic bathroom countertops with an integrated backsplash. We have the kitchen countertops because the depth of front to back measurement is a little bit different with an integrated backsplash. We also have the bar tops available. And what we call a bar top is a top that has the same edge on the front side, or so to speak, on the back side. So it's a two-sided countertop. I'm not talking about the ends of a top that's 12 feet long. So we call those bar tops. We have them in a 12-inch depth, that's front to back, 15s, 18s, 27s, 33s, 36s, 42s. And we can even get a little bit larger ones from that standpoint on a special order. The other thing is that we could basically manufacture in our mill shop almost any size of countertop that you would like. And one example that we've accomplished just recently is that a customer has an island. The island itself is 60 feet in one dimension and 60 inches in one direction and 96 inches in the other direction. So that's basically a 5x8 countertop. So we've made that countertop in our mill shop. All 4 corners of the countertop are requested to be rounded. This is going to be in a sort of an assisted format type area. So rounded corners on the side. We do have to use the square edge, or the pencil edge as it's called. This is the premier edge that was designed in the 1900s on behalf of Formica when the original countertops were patented. And so we can put the round corners on for you. The other unique thing about this island, it's going to be 30 inches off the floor with a major opening on one side whereby individuals with wheelchairs can roll up into the countertop. It'll be at the right height so they can work on this type of a counter. And they'll be learning cooking skills. They'll be learning bookkeeping skills and all sorts of activities of that nature to assist them in the items in life that all of us have to contend with. In this cabinetry that's underneath there, of which we're also providing the cabinetry, we're actually using bathroom cabinet heights because they're about 30 inches off the floor. You put the countertop on it, that makes it about 31 inches. So you can imagine a countertop that's 5 feet by 8 feet is quite large and extensive. And all the cabinets underneath are going to have rollout trays or drawers in them, and that amounts to about 25 rollout trays and drawers in these types of cabinetry. We are equipping the cabinetry with the rollout trays and everything that are provided in order to have access to people that are on wheelchairs or may have a difficulty bending over or whatever it may happen to be from that standpoint. Makes it very easy and very comfortable for people to work in that type of environment. I'd like to extend my thanks. There's been several people that have called the store this week, and we're really appreciative of that, as well as several have come in, and we've had various discussions on things of concern to them, such as cabinetry, woods, chemicals, and extensive things of that nature. One of the other things I'm going to talk about shortly is going to be the trades. And along with this, we wonder today why there is such a extensive impetus to have everybody have a college education. And I'm never going to poo-poo education from that standpoint. My mother, which only had an eighth grade education, and my dad with a third grade education, were fantastic entrepreneurs throughout their life, and they wanted their sons to have as much education as possible. And as a result of that, one of my goals, doing that I'm sort of hands-on type operator, was to go to school and become an engineer. And I was educated as an engineer at the University of Arizona. And you may wonder, as an example, of what value has that been? Well, maybe it's taken a long time for that value to come to fruition. But throughout my life, I've worked with my hands and done various aspects. I've also been a consulting engineer to a certain extent. I've worked in various capacities from that nature. But especially today, at A. Handyman's Haven, I'm finding that the background of engineering and all the courses that we had to take have become extremely valuable in understanding the materials that are utilized for the products that we are producing or that are produced that we are marketing. So I can give what I consider an outstanding explanation on the products, how they're manufactured, what their values is, what the EPA is concerned with those types of products, and we can go down that line considerably. Does that mean that I poo-poo the trades? No, that's not the case at all. So when we get back off the next break, I'll talk about one of the articles that I've read in a trade magazine concerning what's happening in the trades today. As many of us know, we've heard in the past on many radio programs on KVOI. So here we are today, transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. And we'll see you after the break, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone, transmitting in the A Handyman Haven's radio studio. We are on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Give us a call here at the studio with any questions or contributions you'd like to make to the discussions today on frequency or radio dial numbers 520-790-2040. Our phone number is at A Handyman's Haven in Tucson. It's 520-624-7200, with our hours of operation being 9 a.m. in the morning to 5 p.m. in the evening, Monday through Saturday. Our Green Valley location is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103. The hours of operation are 8:30 in the morning to 4:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. So give us a call, visit us. The phone numbers in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. In Tucson, our phone number is 520-624-7200. We'd love to work with you, explain to you what we have and how we can complete your project for you in various aspects of your remodeling. So talking a little bit about the trades, many of us know today that the trades are basically instructed in high schools, not necessarily in the high schools per se, but they're mainly instructed through the JTED program. And most high schools have eliminated, as well as junior highs, the vocational arts, as we call them. I remember being at Sunnyside School System, where I had most of my education up through the beginning grade of high school, and then at the Tucson Senior High School. And at that time period, they just completed the vocational arts building, where they had almost every vocational art available for the students to learn, from drafting to electrical to plumbing to woodworking to welding, auto mechanics, and et cetera. Today, those are offered at some time period at the community colleges, as well as to JTED program, the Acosta Preparation School, Los Artes in mosaic tile formations and things of that nature. However, with our experience at A Handyman's Haven, we're finding out the contractors are coming in and We're asking them about how far out there are on projects, and some of them are saying, well, we're not taking anything in June anymore. We're beyond June, or maybe they're in June as far as their projects go. And you're also finding that when you do hire someone, you do have to wait a period of time in order to get things in motion. They may be working with multiple projects at the same time period as they're trying to manage these. And this all takes extensive time. So this is what's happened with the trades. It's not only in Arizona, but it's worldwide. And I mean worldwide. This is on the backside of the earth, so to speak, or on the forward side, if you want to consider it. We're on the forward side. But the trade people are very, very busy today. And consequently, you find the pricing, depending upon how hungry people are, is going to determine what the price is going to be. The people that are very busy, they're busy for a reason, because they're experts in their career field, they're extremely knowledgeable, and they come with high recommendations. Other people maybe come in and do your job for you and just do a good interviewing process to ensure that you're going to get what you want in the manner that you would expect it to be. So in the trades, there are several trades that are being affected with this. I'll talk a little bit more about some of the trades. The welding trade, the electrician's trade, the mason's trade, the plumbing trade, the carpentry trade, the mechanics trade, auto mechanics, boiler mechanics repairs, truck repairs, diesel repairs, and then the HVAC, which is heating, venting, and air conditioning. Some of these trades by the state of Arizona require contractor registration on behalf of the state, and that would be the electrician as an example. The HVAC trade is another one of them, the plumbing trade, and the roofing trade. And I think there's one other one in there, and I don't remember what that one is at the present time. When you get involved with some of these other trades, there is the beginning experience level. That's very important, and that does not come necessarily with a high-paying job. It may be only minimum wage that the requirement would be in order to pay the employees. So you might, as an example, you might start out, and I'll just use carpentry as an example, swinging a hammer and doing the framing, or building walls or whatever it may happen to be, projects interior of the home or exterior to the home. One has to be very, very careful today because of the structural requirements that may be needed to accomplish various aspects of the construction. But once you start swinging a hammer and learning what the extensive responsibility is of putting things together in that nature and making sure that they're flat and they're secure, and flat would be one thing, but maybe also level. Remember, flatness and levelness are actually two different aspects of construction. They could lead with enough experience that you may have and enough ingenuity and creativity and the ability to want to learn and learn from those professionals that you are working with or the people that have had a lot of experience. You could be a project manager. You could become an environmental analyst. You can get involved with sales. And sales is probably one of the most demanding aspects of it, because not only do you have to understand how things get put together, but you have to understand the materials you're going to use and how important those materials are to the construction process. And that's one thing with the experience level that we have at A Handyman's Haven, a little tote on our things at our store. My experience, the general manager's experience, and even our assistant manager in the warehouse, as well as our administrator at the front counter, that the experience that they have put together is extremely valuable as we continually share the most experiences that we can, along with what's available in the trade magazines. And one thing I could sort of share with you is sort of funny in a way, that most people say they don't want to clean their cabinetry, and yet if you get cabinetry, the doors or the drawer fronts that have ridges on them, as an example, and you're washing them down periodically, you find that What appears to be dirt, or call it whatever you want, appears along the seams or the crevices of the cabinetry, raised panels or moldings, whatever it may happen to be. And a lot of people dislike that. Well, I give Grandma a big hit in a case like this because many times she got out her fork or knife or ice pick. Maybe people don't even know what an ice pick is these days. But anyway, tried to clean the dirt out of the crevices or the seams that are in the cabinetry. Today, what we do for you, we make this relatively easy. You can buy cabinets today that have the appearance of having dirt on all these ridges, and we charge you for doing that. Yes, it's up to many times 20-25% of the cost of cabinets to have what we call glazing placed upon your cabinetry. So we can put the dirt on for you. We can make your cabinet doors look worn, distressed, as we call it. And all of a sudden you're paying, you know, 25-30% more for your cabinetry, and you wonder why, because you thought that looks really neat. All you have to do, folks, is keep your dish rag dirty, wash your cabinets down, and you can do it without any cost whatsoever. You can even make the corners look worn. And especially with the painting that we use today, especially if you repaint your cabinets with a water-based paint. And I was talking to a customer this past week about that. Water-based paint. How do we clean up water-based implements that we use or tools? Well, we use water to clean them up because it's water-based. Well, what's going to happen when you have water-based paint on your cabinets and you're washing them down all the time? You're going to be washing the water. You're going to be washing the paint off your cabinetry. Or if you paint your door jams with water-based paint and you got finger marks all over, and when you go to wash it down and clean it up, you're going to be washing the paint off. Just that pure and simple. And do not think that the softness of your dish rag or your wiping rag or cleaning rag is not an abrasive. It is an abrasive on a very, very fine format. So anyway, getting back to the trades, I sort of divested myself in that case, but the individual that wrote this article, he said he found out that there's a lot of things going on out in the trades that people don't know about as a result of the high work environment that they're involved with, the pressure. So there's a lot of people involved. You have the customer involved. You have the contractor that you're hiring involved that's assisting you in designing your project. They may go to an interior designer or a decorative designer, or they go to a cabinet designer like we are at A Handyman's Haven, and you start designing your kitchen and so on and so forth. There could very well be an architect or a draftsman involved. And if your house is not built yet, which is probably a very important part, the interesting thing about that is that if you entertain these disciplines ahead of time, you may end up reformatting the floor plan of your home to accommodate the things that you thought you were going to get, but you couldn't get because there was not an adequate amount of space. So you can plan ahead of time with this. We are presently working with a customer out of New Mexico that in their initial design of their home, when it came to their kitchen and everything, their kitchen looked out over the driveway, a big U-shaped driveway that came up. They decided that that wasn't what they wanted to look at when they were in the kitchen. They'd much rather look at the mountain scenery that was on the other side. So there's these types of things that could be pointed out to you during the initial concept of designing before you start the floor plan and construction. One does have to be very careful with the people you hire. We can think of one project that we've been working on whereby the framing contractor had misread his tape measure. As you know, many of us today, I shouldn't say many of us, but many people today in school don't even know what a tape measure is or a yardstick or a ruler and what all the little lines mean on each one of those. But anyway, he used a tape measure and was unfamiliar with this tape measure. And the entire floor plan was designed under the metric system instead of the English system. It doesn't take long to figure out if you can know the conversions. I've already remembered one that 2.54 centimeters is included in 1 inch. And so if you're going to put a 1 inch out there and you go to half of 2.54, that's not a half an inch, by the way. So anyway, the entire floor plan was askew, and we did the initial design off of the architectural drawings and had to totally redesign the entire house with all the cabinetry. Fortunately, we were able to accomplish that, and they had about 130 square feet of countertops, so you can imagine what the disaster would have been if we had designed the countertops and had it fabricated prior to the framing of the home. Anyway, welding is one of the disciplines I talked about. We do have welding schools in town that you can go to or learn from a journeyman. And the median salary, and I know I talked about this before in the past, but the median salary of a welder today is $41,000 a year. And one easy way to compute that back to our hourly wage is that about $10,000 of annual salary is about $5 per hour. Folks, we're upon the completion of our third segment, and we'll sign off at the present time period and come back after the break. And Mr. John, please take it away. Well, that's pretty good jazzy music that John selected. Thank you, John. It's much appreciated. I am Maurice from A. Hennyman's Haven. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk on the Hammer Time radio show. Previous to this, we've been started talking about the trades. And the interesting part of this article, and I'll just quote you from this standpoint, the trades, according to the writer, are not merely an alternative to college. A trade is equal to college. So when you start working in the trades and you start having to make decisions and start reading floor plans in order to accomplish things because your supervisor, your project manager may ask you, have you ever done this? And you may say yes, and then, okay, go for it. So you have to read these floor plans that the architect has drawn, and it has math all over the place from that standpoint. It has acronyms all over the place, and trying to figure out what all these things are has to come with on-site actual experience. There are schools that can teach you a certain amount of these. In my case, in growing up in Tucson, Arizona, most of it was due to actual experience with my dad, who was a contractor, furniture maker, carpenter, a builder. Everything that you can imagine when it comes to the trades. He knew electricity, he knew plumbing, and as I realized today, he was extremely knowledgeable, like many of the general contractors today that are registered by the state of Arizona. And those things are vitally important as you're learning the trades and moving up. So an experience in the trades is just like a college degree. So once you complete the initial training program, that's very, very important in securing your position in life. I see we have a caller on the line, and welcome, Charles.
Hi, Maurice. Good to talk to you. Hey, I was just wondering something. If the floor plan is designed in metric, does that mean you have to use a metric wrench when you're installing it?
If it's got any nuts and bolts, you may have to use a metric wrench. You go have to buy metric nuts and bolts and so on and so forth. Yes, that's an interesting concept.
I might have to go home and retool.
That's true. You know, the other interesting thing is about nails, as an example. I haven't researched it to find out why they use a designation of pennies for nails, like a 16-penny nail, a 2-penny nail, 3-penny, a brad, the gauges. I mean, there's all sorts of ways to define nails these days. And there's a lot that goes on in these acronym world that we're associated with.
Well, to me, it's either in millimeters or hundredths of an inch.
That's right. And which small lines are those on a tape measure, Charles?
Well, the tape measures are got both of them, don't they? Don't they have, at least the yardsticks that I had in growing up all had millimeters on one side and inches on the other. They had two scales.
Well, there are some of those, yes. There are some of those tapes that are still available today, and we happen to have one down at the store. It's a 6-foot tape, as an example, that's got millimeters on one side and the English inches on the other side. And so one has to be careful with what they're using. But there's an easy conversion that, you know, I, for some reason why I remember this, I don't have any idea. But They're 2.54 centimeters per inch.
Right. That I do remember. At 1.06 liters per quart.
Exactly right.
My dad worked for the Department of Weights and Measures, and so we had all those. We because I helped him with some of his calculations and whether or not somebody would get a citation or not. I had to memorize all those charts and know all the metric conversions. It was kind of fun. He made learning them fun.
Absolutely, it is fun, and it's even challenging today because many of us are not using it at the level that other people do, and especially when we have a lot of customers coming up from Mexico, and all our measurements are in metrics. And so we have to learn to convert the metrics over to inches because all our design programs are in inches. Even though it comes out of Canada, they haven't given us an option of switching over to metrics in case that is the situation involved. So,
one of the interesting parallels to this is the difference between the calculation of knots on miles an hour. And I remember that in the pre-married days, a girlfriend had a dad who was a navigator, and he almost ran him out of gas in a C-130 by having the notations be in knots and the calculations be in miles per hour. And they ran into their reserve and were on vapors by the time they got there because of the 13% difference or so. Or what is it, 11% difference? I'm not sure. Anyway.
Well, I appreciate the comments very much. And I'll talk a little bit about knots since I am somewhat familiar with that. But the interesting thing is I was talking to a ship-going individual a few years back, and he told me how the word knots was derived. And I thought that was interesting because most of it's associated with the ocean or the waterways. And so back in the beginning days, they didn't have any way of calculating speed, so to speak, with the various techniques we have today. So they had big ropes, and they would tie a knot in approximately 10 feet associated with the rope. And then they took the rope and made sure that when it went over the stern of the ship, somebody timed it with a clock, and they counted the number of knots that went by at a certain time period. And if 10 knots went by within a certain thing, then they were doing about 10 knots per hour, because that was about how they calculated everything up. And each knot was 10 feet. So today, the nautical mile is 6,000 feet by U.S. measurements or Western measurements, and the statute miles is about 5,280 feet. So that's the main reason difference. And in the aviation field, which adapted a lot of that, we fly in knots, but then in turn, when we come in to navigate for landing, we're using statute miles for landing. So talk about major confusions and not truly occurring in the civilian aviation world. But in flying military equipment, we even talk about Mach. You may be going Mach 1, Mach 2, Mach 3, which happens to be faster than the speed of sound. So there's another term in speed that we have to contend ourselves with. So anyway, welding is one of the career fields that many times is pretty simple. High schools may still have a welding shop, but the last one that I knew about in Tucson was with Marana. I don't know whether it's still in existence. But you can really learn a little story about welders. When I was in Okinawa some time ago, we met an individual that was a deep sea welder. And I never thought too much about that. This guy happened to be about 6'9 in height. He probably weighed close to 300 pounds. He was solid muscle. When he sat down on a floor and stretched out his legs, as an example, he told us his shoes were about number 18s. Have you ever seen an 18 size shoe? And then the standard classic statement for him was, boy, he sure is nice and easy going. And I thought to myself, an underwater welder, nice and easy going at 6'9", and the strength that this guy must possess was unreal. In turn, at that time period, if I remember correctly, he was making about $100 an hour. And this is back in the late 60s. So that gives you a pretty good idea of what some of these career fields can end up being. And I'm going to hold off on the rest of these trades. We'll pick them up next week. As we're coming to the end of the show, I appreciate you listening today. Thank you for your valuable time, as Sean Husfine would say. And have a great week, folks.